Portland.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with the requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. Due to the temporary closure of in-station activity at KBOO, board meetings will be conducted online via public video conferencing unless otherwise noted. A public link and phone number to attend the meetings are available on our website. The KBOO Board of Directors meets the fourth Monday of the month starting at 6 p.m. Please visit our website at kboo.fm to verify if a meeting is being held.
KBOO Community Radio is supported by our members and by the Columbia SLU Watershed Council's SLU DIY House Party, an excuse to let loose. An online benefit on Friday, April 23rd, with live music from Wren, the Matisse's Latin Ensemble, and DJ Mr. Mom. Tickets and more information can be found at columbiaslu.org.
Welcome back to Rural Roots Rising. If this is your first time listening, Rural Roots Rising is a monthly radio show and podcast created by and for rural Oregonians who are creatively and courageously building stronger and more vibrant communities for a just democracy. My name is Jess Campbell, and I'm the director of the Rural Organizing Project and one of the creators of Rural Roots Rising. In our last community media spotlight, we featured KPOV, a powerful community radio station created and operated by and for the people of Central Oregon. And The Point, KPOV's daily news and culture program hosted by a different host each day of the week. Today we're going behind the scenes at KPOV with Bruce Morris, who is the Tuesday host of The Point, KPOV's station manager, a longtime community organizer, and a member of the Rural Organizing Project's board of directors. I first met Bruce 15 years ago at an ROP board meeting, and I learned so much from the work his group was doing to organize for human dignity in Central Oregon. Ever since, I have turned to Bruce for organizing advice, inspiration, belly laughs, and if I can catch the opportunity, some of his amazing cooking.
So KPOV was started by activists, and I'm curious, how has it really shaped and supported strategic organizing in Central Oregon? Knowing that's how it started and clearly is how it still is, being operated by savvy community organizers like yourself.
Well, first of all, thank you. And second, that coming from you means a lot. I really think the main way and the way it really it still is today is giving people a chance to talk about their work on the air in a way that allows them to reach a lot of people all at once. I think that's really that's our bread and butter then. It remains so now. That was an important aspect of community building in a way that was different from what was happening. It was more of a progressive vision of building community and strengthening democracy in Central Oregon. And then at first it was mostly, again, those syndicated shows. There were a few local shows, a few local interview and news shows. One of the first and great show was called Citizen Report. And we wouldn't call it Citizen Report today. We would have another name for it. But it was really good. And actually, I was one of the first people interviewed on that show way back in 2005 doing LGBTQ rights organizing. Where that really shifted and where this really took off was, and I know we'll talk about this later, but was when we started The Point, the 5-day-a-week, morning local affairs show. And that was started, that went on the air for the first time in 2013. The planning started much before that. And that has really allowed our ability to support local change work and also, local services, nonprofits providing local services, local information, in-depth interviews with local candidates. That The Point really accelerated that. And I think that, to me, a lot of ways is where or when we became a radio station that really was a resource for organizing for justice and for helping people, empowering people who need help. Like, you know, again, whether that's organizations providing food, or, you know, we did a 3-part series with Deschutes County Health Department. They have a van for HIV, rapid HIV testing and HIV prevention. So we did a 3-part series on that. And I will also say that, in my view, Central Oregon is seriously under-resourced for justice work, for social change work in the direction of justice. And it's a way people, again, can get the word out without cost to them, and in a way that allows them to articulate their work and their vision and the importance of the issues and educate people on the issues in their words. We don't edit. I mean, we do a little bit, but we edit for, like, you've heard me say many, many times through this interview, all the ums and uhs, that kind of thing. But we don't edit for content, and we give people plenty of time so people can take, you know, we have 17, 18-minute interviews, and people are able to elaborate and talk about the things that are important to them and talk about, you know, how people can get involved. And that's one of the big ones, right? How people can get involved, what people can do to help our community address these problems, and they get to say it in their own words and in their own way. And there is also, I will add, something about listening to people's voices that has a bigger impact than reading things on paper. There's just something about the richness of the voice, the way emotion comes through, the way intention comes through, that is more moving and is more appealing, I think, again, than reading on paper. And I know we have some amazing writers in this town, but I personally find that the voice is also very, very powerful.
That is so true. I've been really moved by listening to several episodes of The Point for that reason alone.
Yeah,
just hearing the emotion that people are conveying that would be lost in writing, for sure. Well, could you tell us about The Point, and what have you learned by hosting The Point?
So, a little bit of a backstory. You know, KPOV, POV is point of view, right? I mean, traditionally. And that was, so it was intentional. Like, calling the station KPOV, it was intentionally to bring in that abbreviation for point of view. But from early on, the station, this is before my time, they did want to have a local affairs show, a daily local affairs show. And that took some capacity, right, to put on. And early on, that capacity just wasn't around. There was, you know, it's not that easy to get a radio station launched and going, and then a few years in, you know, wanting to expand from low power to what's called full power, which there's no real definition of what full power is either, but it just means not low power. But anyway, somewhere around 2011, when the full power was established, there became a really earnest effort to create that daily local affairs show. And it was a lot of work. A lot of DJs worked at it. They created a citizen's journalist handbook that we now call folks like that grassroots journalists, because we don't like the exclusionary nature of the word citizen. So that was the vision of The Point. It is really, in some ways, exactly what it is, to talk about local issues with local people. And so our Monday show, once a month, they have a dog trainer on. And you may know that Central Oregon has one of the biggest populations of dogs per capita in the entire country. So a dog trainer on once a month is actually quite valuable to people. We get feedback all the time on how much people like it. So it's not all, you know, like super serious politics or that sort of thing. I mean, mostly it is. I will say that. Tuesday, my show on Tuesday, I really focus on justice issues almost exclusively. I also do some environmental stuff, but it's almost always justice kind of work. But I think the key really to The Point is letting our community inform, educate, entertain, and connect our community through local people. As a general KPOV philosophy, we give our volunteer hosts a lot of latitude to create their shows the way they want to create their own content. There are certain restrictions, obviously, but in general, we let them do the shows they want to do, and that has worked out really well.
Well, I would love to pivot a little bit to dive into you specifically and what it's like for you as a host of The Point. And, you know, I think part of what we're trying to mull on and talk about and kind of chew on with our listeners of Rural Roots Rising is, you know, media makers are learning just like everyone else is learning. And sometimes they're learning in really public ways. Sometimes they're learning on the air as things are going. So I'm curious if you could share an example or a couple of stories about when you learned something from a guest on The Point, or how have guests challenged you on air in ways that encouraged you to learn and think differently about organizing or about Central Oregon.
I learn something every single Tuesday, right? There's not a week that goes by. I never have an interview that I don't learn something, and often I learn a lot. And I sometimes worry that I sound like a know-it-all when I'm in normal conversation, because something will come up and I will know the answer because I interviewed somebody on it. I knew all these details. Well, I'll tell you one. Here's a really simple one. Planned Parenthood. We've had them on the air a few times, especially there was several years ago when the Republicans were really doing this thing about, quote, defunding Planned Parenthood. And what I learned, and I was surprised I didn't know this, to be honest with you, just because I'm not ignorant about Planned Parenthood, is that Planned Parenthood doesn't get a check from the federal government or any other state government or anything. They don't, like, get, quote, funding. The way they receive money from the federal government is because they're a health care provider, and sometimes the services they provide are covered by Medicaid when they're serving people who are on Medicaid. That's the only way they get money from the government. And I don't know if you knew that. I did not know that. And I've talked to a lot of other people that didn't know that. And so in order to, quote, cut off Planned Parenthood from government funding, they would literally have to say, they would have to pass a law that says Medicaid funding cannot be used at Planned Parenthood. So they would actually not be defunding Planned Parenthood, to really be honest with you. They would be defunding people that get services from Planned Parenthood. I mean, I don't know if you knew that, but so that's a really simple one, like just one little fact that really changed my viewpoint. And I have heard from a lot of people who heard that program and didn't realize that.
One thing that came up in my conversation with Bruce, and it's something we've been hearing a lot from people who engage in media work, is the vulnerability and bravery it takes to learn in public. Some media makers have the opportunity to edit out their mistakes or their learning by doing. One thing we admire about The Point is that the hosts are learning live on air, and they turn episodes into recorded podcasts where they could decide to edit out the clips where a host makes a mistake, but instead they intentionally keep them in.
I'll just tell on myself here. I have done quite a few shows on racial justice and anti-racism with people of color. And quite a few times, I have stuck my foot way in my mouth and just said something that turns out wasn't a great way to say something. And so, and being able to deal with that on the air, whether it was me saying, oh man, I'm pretty sure that didn't sound very good, or even the guests saying, usually very gently, maybe we should put it this way. And I don't say really super insensitive things, but sometimes things come out and I realize, wow, you know, I said that from the perspective of an old white guy, and that probably wasn't the best way to put it. I have learned a lot from that, and what I'm hoping is, and I realized in the middle of a show, I said, oh, I'm really hoping that all of our listeners are learning from me sitting here making a complete fool of myself. So I think that's another piece of it, is me learning, and then hopefully, as I'm learning, the people who are listening to us are also learning. Again, you know, looking stupid, feeling stupid, that's fine with me, you know, to be really honest, because I feel like hopefully it helps.
One of the things we've been exploring in Rural Roots Rising is the concept of what the media is. Where do you go for trusted news? Who in your community is considered the media, and how are they perceived? In 2019, The Bend Bulletin, a Central Oregon newspaper, filed bankruptcy and was one of many news sources going under or being bought by national corporations. When we asked about being a part of the media, even Bruce kind of bristled at the question. Ultimately, for Bruce and KPOV, it's about being local and honest.
I think the difference, and what our goal is to be a credible source. And we are a lot harder to demean, because demeaning KPOV is demeaning the people that live across the street from you, right? I mean, we, you know, metaphorically, of course, but so we do this with local people, talking about local stuff. And people who know, like people who live here, a lot of our DJs and our point hosts, right, and our other local affairs show hosts have been living here longer than 23 years. We have a lot of people who've been living here, you know, 40, 50 years. When it's local people talking to local people about what's happening in their town, in their county, in their area, the reliability is built in. I think people just assume their neighbors are telling the truth. And we insist on that at KPOV. And that is the single most important thing for us, is what we say to be true, the intention to be true, as much as possible, too, when we're talking about justice issues, having people on with lived experience of the injustices. We have quite a few times had homeless people on the air to talk about homelessness. So we don't. We do have homelessness advocates and people who are working to support people who are homeless, but we also frequently have homeless people themselves on the air. We have people of color to talk about racial issues. We have LGBTQ people on to talk about those issues. Again, our three-part series on HIV. We had a health worker from the county, and the other people we talked to were all people in the LGBTQ community. And so just as an example, though, of just being real and being honest and being local, I think blunts that media criticism and opens people up to believing what we're saying, trusting us as a reliable source of news and information and emotion and analysis. I mean, to me, in many ways, that's the cure for this issue we have around media. Local media, grassroots, direct, impassioned media. One more little bit of a rant. I think you probably agree with me, Jessica, and I know ROP is doing amazing work to get to this point, but we are going to have to build sustainable local communities in order to survive, certainly in order to thrive, I believe, in the future and maybe the very near future. You know, this giant spaced out warehouse on wheels kind of, you know, go out to 7-Eleven to get a chunky monkey that was delivered from all the way across the country, and nobody adds up all the carbon that it took to get it there. That local sustainable community is going to need local sustainable media. And another thing I like to say to people, radio waves are the sturdiest, most reliable, hardest to stop way to send information that we know about. Maybe telegraphs, but telegraphs take wires. And so community radio, I believe, can be the cornerstone, or at least a really important part of the sustainable, or the network of sustainable communities we're going to need to thrive, especially in light of climate change and, you know, innumerable other issues.
Well, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to ask, what do you imagine the future of media to be?
So one thing that's happening that in media right now that I don't think many people would have predicted would be many people 10, 12 years ago would have thought 12 years from now, the biggest development, the most exciting, ubiquitous thing in media is people listening to words with no pictures. Right? Podcasts. So who would have guessed that? You know, even when I was doing, we were doing a lot of work back, you know, as you know, a lot of organizing and trying to figure out how we get messages to people, and everything was about video, 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 video. You have to have video or people are going to stop paying attention. Turns out people like audio. And so I think so that's a lesson in one thing is it's hard to predict the future of media. But what I also believe is that audio is going to stay very important. I also think the future of media in some ways is going to depend, here's a shocker, on the power structure, on basically who has the most power in society. And the reason I say that is based in large part on the whole idea of net neutrality. If we end up with a situation in which these massive companies that own the broadband, right, that own the fiber optic networks, you know, AT&T, Comcast, companies like that, if they are given the power, or if they are not regulated such that they have the free ability to regulate what we see and hear, what gets to our computers, that's going to change things dramatically. So they can, you know, I've always thought, you know, they could slow down, we know this, right, but they can slow down our favorite progressive websites, like the ones that criticize AT&T and Comcast. They can't shut down a radio station. I mean, they can, but by the time they get to shutting down radio stations, because that's going to take a physical act. I mean, you can't beam something. You can't flip a switch. You got to stop something. You have to stop our signal. You have to do something to our tower. You have to cut off our electricity, something like that. That's not just flipping a switch or reducing the broadband. And so that's why, in a lot of ways, I think that broadcast media is going to stay strong. It's going to have to stay strong, for one thing. And radio, again, is just this, it's so simple. It's really old, but it's also tough. And people apparently really like audio. I mean, my little catchphrase that I throw around every now and then, it's my little marketing phrase, radio, the original podcast. And I think that's what we are. So you can listen to the voices, you can listen to it live. And I think there's that random thrill of live radio is something that podcasts, even though they are good, there's some that are amazing, you know, you're hearing something that already exists, right? On the radio, you're not. You're hearing something that's being created as you're listening to it. Even if it's a song, because it's the next song, you don't know what the next song's going to be. And if it's an interview or a report, it's literally being created as you're listening to it. So you are listening to art being created, or journalism being created, or history being created. And to me, that's more exciting in a lot of ways. That's a thrill. I wouldn't be doing this if I didn't believe this. And that is that local people talking about local communities, talking about the national issue. Sure, we do that all the time on KPOV. But what we try to do, or what we do, is tie those into what's happening locally, how it affects local people, how it affects our whatever, our housing prices, our access to food, our natural spaces. You know, the lot of concern in the most recent administration's rollback of environmental protections, how's that going to affect the Deschutes River? How is climate change going to affect the snowpack that we depend on for agriculture? You know, the snowpack is essentially our reservoir.
For those of you who haven't been based in Central Oregon as long as KPOV has, it can be easy to forget that KPOV and The Point have always been platforms for amplifying local organizing efforts and community issues. Just to give you a little behind-the-scenes information on how we work at Rural Roots Rising, after our interview with Bruce, we sent the audio we planned to use in this episode to him for his approval. And he suggested that we add the story about the Central Oregonians who founded KPOV. When we first started this podcast, we knew that we wanted to connect with radio stations to share stories of rural Oregonians making change in their communities. One of the things that we are learning in public is how to share stories in a way that honors every storyteller. Sometimes that involves a second take, and sometimes that looks like bringing in more storytellers into the conversation. And like all ethical media makers, Bruce drives home the point that the media is always a collective effort. Here's his addition.
I want to be clear that a lot of people and organizations worked incredibly hard to get KPOV up and running. Way too many to name. They got the low-power FM permit, raised the funds, bought the equipment, secured a station, built out the inside of the station with an all-volunteer force, and I mean force, and train the DJs and volunteers. a lot of those people are still heavily involved. People like me stand on the shoulders of those giants, taking the logical next steps to advance the dream of the visionaries who made KPOV what it is. We are all incredibly grateful to them. You can find out more about the history of KPOV at kpov.org under the About tab.
To close out today's episode, we wanted to include information anyone can bring back to their community building and organizing work. Let's return to my conversation with Bruce.
The first piece of advice I would give to community organizers is engage your community radio station. Do it. I mean, you know, that's what I would think. And I don't know how warm the stations will be. I assume most of them will be excited to hear from organizers that want to get the word out. And most community radio stations have a community mission. There aren't many community radio stations, certainly in Oregon that I'm aware of, that are basically on all music format or an all syndicated format. They almost all have local shows. They almost all want to talk about local issues. That's an important part of our mission. I mean, KPOV's mission is actually to strengthen arts, culture, and community, arts, culture, community, and democracy through independent non-commercial radio. So our mission is actually to help the community. So that's the reason I ask that question. I frequently ask that question of guests like Janet, who are themselves taking on important issues in the community. And that especially made sense in this with the COVID, because we are a distribution network, and I go back to we're free. And so we're a way that information can be disseminated. And I think with COVID, there was a lot of information that needed to get out. One thing that Janet came to us with before that interview was, she came to me and she said, I want to translate the governor's original order into Spanish and have it broadcast in Spanish, because, you know, a lot of people, they don't even know about it. She said a lot of people in the Latinx community, and a lot of people she knows who don't necessarily speak English or don't comprehend English all that well, they don't know what's going on. She asked if we would broadcast a Spanish translation. And I said, of course we will. You know, yes, of course. But apparently nobody else would at that time. We were actually the first station to broadcast the governor's order in Spanish.
At the end of our time together, I asked Bruce if he had any final words for Rural Roots Rising listeners and community organizers.
Engage with your local station. There's a lot of ways you can do it. Reach out, find out how they can help you, how you can help them. There's the issue of financial support. There's also always volunteer opportunities. And that's what I would say, just engage, because polling has shown over the last several years that while radio audiences have been going down slightly, community radio listening has actually been going up. So it's actually a counter trend to the overall radio trend. And I also think that radio trend is going to change because people are getting back into audio. But anyway, engage with your community station. And I would say, just be real clear, straight up and honest. This is what we want to do. You know, can you help us? Do you have a show we can be on?
You've been listening to Behind the Scenes with The Point and KPOV High Desert Community Radio. If you liked what you heard today, you can find more episodes of Rural Roots Rising at ruralrootsrising.org. Listen to KPOV Live or hear recorded episodes of The Point at kpov.org. Season 2 of Rural Roots Rising is featuring rural media makers who are helping build the movement for human dignity and social justice. Do you know a rural media maker we should meet? Let us know at info@ruralrootsrising.org. We featured music from Monk Turner, Deef, and the Road Sodas. Rural Roots Rising is created by the Rural Organizing Project, a network of more than 80 autonomous groups who are advancing human dignity and democracy across rural Oregon. To learn more about the Rural Organizing Project, to sign up for weekly email updates, or to donate to support Rural Roots Rising, go to rop.org. You can follow the Rural Organizing Project on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can subscribe to Rural Roots Rising wherever you get your podcasts. Thank you for listening. See you next month. Thank you.
produced at the studios of KBOO Radio in Portland, Oregon. This is Free Culture Radio. Free Culture Radio neither promotes the use of